WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day, 517. How about that, right? It is 517, 2017. Shout out to Lansing, right? We've got a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there. On today's Current Sports, we will be talking about last night's NBA draft lottery. It took place around 8:50-ish, right before tip-off of that just ho-hum, boring game. Game two of the NBA Western Conference Finals between the San Antonio Spurs and the Golden State Warriors. But right before that, it's always fun to watch that weird tradition in the NBA, right? The NBA draft lottery. People bringing certain good luck charms. The representatives that each team sends, which actually included two Spartans last night. One, I expected, right? We expected Magic to be on the building, but I did not expect the other Spartan to represent a certain team. So we'll talk about the NBA draft lottery. We will chat about the implications that the lottery has for the Detroit Pistons. Also, the Detroit Pistons unveiling a new logo yesterday. We'll talk about that as well. I also did not leave WKAR until about midnight last night as I was covering the softball classic yesterday and compiling a report from day two. We'll give you an update on how day two panned out. And around the 1:30 mark, we, of course, as we customarily do, will invite our guest for the day's Current Sports Hour. Today, we invite our dear friend, DeShawn Tate. He is a native of Mitt, Michigan, and he is now, of course, a college basketball reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio down in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. DeShawn will chime in on what he thinks about this year's NBA 2017 draft class and who he believes to be the number one overall pick. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about Tom Brady's wife, Giselle, commenting on Tom Brady's health as Tom has gone on the record to say that he wants to play to at least 40 years old. Well, the wifey does not like that. We'll get to that in just a moment. And Mark Hollis, Michigan State athletic director, has chimed in on, of course, all of the ongoings away from the sporting realm, the troubling stories that have certainly flooded timelines left and right when it comes to MSU athletics. So we'll get to that. If you want to join the show and be a part of it, let your voice be heard by simply picking up the phone and dialing that number. I know you have it on speed dial, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via live stream at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. So you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, brought to you by, of course, myself, along with Current Sports summer intern Karina Garcia. All right, and we start with the softball classic, not the diamond classic. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. In game one, day two, yesterday evening of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame softball classic, Grand Ledge defeated Hazlitt in the softball classic and remains undefeated. Get this. The Comets are 24-0 with that win. Yeah, they escape with a 3-2 dub over Hazlitt after being down 2-0 early. And Kaylee Dumont, she was absolutely fantastic. The senior outfielder went 2-for-3, played at the go-ahead run with two outs in the bottom of the sixth on a hard-hit double that went past the center fielder. Both of Dumont's hits resulted in runs scoring for GL, which remains, again, unbeaten at 24 in a donut, and earned a spot in today's softball classic semis against Charlotte. Nina Bennett, the Comets pitcher, had a complete game outing in the circle. Bennett escaped a pair of bases-loaded jams early in early innings, I should say, and allowed just two runs. Olivia Green gave Haslett a 2-0 lead. The Vikings were feeling pretty good in the top of the fifth with a 2-RBI single with two outs. Granlich answered in the bottom half with Kinsey Trierweiler ending the two-run fifth with an RBI single. Dumont then followed with a huge hit in the sixth to help the Comets take the lead. In game two, as I mentioned, Charlotte actually defeated Holt to move on. 8-3 the final of that one. Lauren Pryor had four RBIs for the Orioles. Alex Whitney had 13 Ks. Today, you can catch Weberville versus Eaton Rapids at 6 p.m. and Charlotte versus Granlich at 8 p.m. And keep it locked to Facebook.com/CurrentSports. We will be out there at Rainey Park today providing coverage from day three of the Softball Classic. Also, breaking news here. According to Brian Callaway, sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal, it was announced that the field of the Diamond Classic is now set. Here are the teams: Holt, DeWitt, Granlich, Portland St. Pat's, Fowlerville, Fowler, Lakewood, Okemos, Portland, and St. John's. That is your Diamond Classic field. Good luck to all of those teams. All right, moving on, Karina.
MSU softball loses to Murray State. The MSU softball team fell to Murray State in the ninth inning, 7-6, in the opener of the National Softball Invitational Championship. Murray State rallied from a 6-0 deficit. Murray State first got on the scoreboard in the third inning with a home run from leadoff hitter Brenda Fink. Christina Zalewski earned a start, her fourth consecutive. After leaving with a 6-1 lead after three innings, she returned in the bottom of the sixth. She went 6.2 innings in total, allowing four runs and striking out four. The Spartans had two errors, one in the seventh and one in the ninth, that allowed for the Racers to make their comeback. However, for Michigan State, both Leah Forrester and Kelsey Carrasco went 2-5, with Carrasco hitting her 10th home run of the season. She is now the first freshman in the program's history to reach double-digit home runs. 10 homers is tied for seventh in a season in school history. The Spartans will play again today at 2 p.m., so right after this show, and their opponent will be IUPUI.
You know, that's shocking to me. I did not know that this tournament, I guess, is double elimination. I thought it was a single game elimination tournament, but nonetheless, the Spartans still have life. Thank you for that, Karina. More from Karina in just a moment. As a team, the MSU men's golf team currently stands in 12th place with a 33-over 601 after waiting almost 4 years. That's what it felt like. Actually, 4 hours due to a rain delay. The Michigan State men's golf team finally completed the second round of the Washington Regional yesterday. MSU continues to be led by junior Michael Sharp with a 3-over 145, improving on his round one score. Sharp leads the Spartans with 7 birdies through the first two rounds. This is the Spartans' second straight season advancing to the NCAA Regionals after playing in the Stillwater Regional in Oklahoma last year. Third round action is taking place right now. We will keep you updated on third round action as the hour proceeds. Big news from MSU track and field, Karina.
Sophomore Justine Kiepertich and junior Caitlin Daniels both earned all Big Ten track and field honors yesterday. Kiepertich, a native of Kentwood, Michigan, was named to the men's track and field's first team. This is his second all Big Ten honor after being named to the second team last season. He captured the first gold medal of the 2017 Big Ten Outdoor Championship by winning the men's 1,500 meter. Daniels, a native of Lewis Center, Ohio, earned her third outdoor women's all-Big Ten honor, capturing second team honors this year. The junior earned second team honors in 2016 and first team in 2015. She also garnered Freshman of the Year honors in 2015. The Big Ten Conference office recognizes students from each team as Sportsmanship Award honorees. The students chosen are individuals who have distinguished themselves through sportsmanship and ethical behavior. For MSU on the men's side, senior David Washington was the sportsmanship honoree, while on the women's side, senior Shelby Jackson earned the award.
How about that sportsmanship? That needs to be honored, right, Karina?
It does.
Love that. I tell you what, I must admit, though, Isaac, I wasn't big on sportsmanship when I was in high school. I must admit, when I played high school sports, dude, I wanted to beat you. I wanted to stomp on your throat. Yeah, I like led our team in technical fouls when I played high school ball.
All off the bench, too, correct?
Stop it. I'm about to jump through this glass, dude. I'm about to jump through this glass. All right, moving on. That was good, Isaac. All right, this has been a tough year for Michigan State. From, of course, the Larry Nassar investigation and case to a really bad football season, right? 3-9, worst under Coach D, and the worst at MSU since 1982. Two coaches stepped away from their programs, and there has been a number of legal issues when it comes to sexual assault investigations. Now, via the Detroit Free Press, Mark Hollis, of course, acknowledged all of this, right? MSU's AD of 9 years. He talked about the issues on campus right now and how it has affected the community. Hollis seemed confident that MSU would come back and once again make people proud. He said this, quote, "I've had an opportunity to talk to the kids as well as the coaching staff, and that's continuing to be a work in progress. I think everyone wants to get to a good place, and they are doing what needs to be done to get there. Confidence is high that we will get there," end quote. Hollis also spoke on MSU in their, quote, "outstanding program," end quote, in educating athletes about preventing sexual assaults. He said the university has brought in both internal and external speakers to address the topic in both small and large groups. Karina, how are the Tigers looking?
The Tigers fought hard last night, but unfortunately fell short after 5 hours in the 13th inning. Francisco Rodriguez gave up a home run to Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles. The Tigers, who have been struggling offensively, were actually swinging the bat pretty well last night. Boyd was the starting pitcher for the Tigers, but only lasted 2 1/3 innings. He gave up 8 hits and 7 runs. The Tigers then found themselves in a major 7-1 hole. The Tigers had all of their players back on the field, including J.D. Martinez, who came back from a foot injury. J.D. had a home run in the third inning, but in the seventh inning, he had a grand slam to bring the Tigers back. Yet, the Tigers could not seem to fix their main issue, which has been their bullpen.
The bullpen. This has been a problem for the Tigers for quite some time, Karina, but I must say, that grand slam was pretty hot last night. I actually watched the highlights of that last night. The Tigers, though, going extras and falling. Thank you for that. All right. Preparing for their highly anticipated move downtown, the Detroit Pistons revealed a new logo. Kind of not really a new logo, if you catch my drift here, for those that have seen the logo. But they did that yesterday afternoon downtown Detroit at Campus Martius Park. The logo was an obvious nod to the Bad Boys era, but with a modern twist. Their last logo had been around for 12 years and was first debuted back in 2005. We'll have more on that logo later on. Based on the last 15 years, the Detroit Pistons can expect to get a player who will make a huge impact when they select 12th, maybe, right? In next month's NBA draft. They drew the 12th selection where they were expected to pick. General manager Jeff Bauer, who represented the Pistons at the draft lottery, said the club will be looking to add a player, quote, at any position, end quote, in the June 22nd draft in Brooklyn. How about that? BK, well, BX, right, Karina? BX. I said BK yet again, right?
BX is Bronx,
well,
I think.
Yeah, BX
and BK
is Bronx
is Brooklyn.
BK, so you were right this time.
Oh,
BK,
my gosh.
Would be Brooklyn.
I tell you, there's too many acronyms here, man. I'm getting confused. All right, Karina, take us home with some news concerning Tom Brady's wife.
It has been revealed from Tom Brady's wife, Gisele Bundchen, that he had a concussion last season while he was busy taking his team, obviously, to winning the Super Bowl with the New England Patriots. According to his wife, he has had other concussions as well. Gisele, speaking with CBS's Charlie Rose, expressed concern about her husband playing until his mid-40s because of the health risks involved with playing the game.
As a wife, I'm a little bit, you know, it's, as you know, it's not the most, like, let's say an aggressive sport, right? Football, like he had a concussion last year. I mean, he has concussions pretty much. I mean, we don't talk about, but he does have concussions. And I don't really think it's a healthy thing for your body to go through like a, you know, through that kind of aggression, like all the time. That could not be healthy for you, right? And I'm planning on having him be healthy and do a lot of fun things when we're like 100.
If Brady has had a concussion and it has not been listed on an injury report the past 4 seasons with the Patriots, we would assume he hasn't missed any time. Bundchen's credibility to assess Brady's medical state certainly will be called into question as well.
We'll have more on that in just a moment. Karina, thank you. And that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Be a part of the show. Pick up that phone, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
The 13th pick belongs to the Denver Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets average 111.7 points per game, third best in the NBA behind Golden State and Houston.
Picking 12th will be the Detroit Pistons.
After 29 years in Auburn Hills, the Pistons will play at Little Caesars Arena, downtown Detroit, next season.
The 11th pick in the draft will go to the Charlotte Hornets.
Kemba Walker averaged a career-high 23.2 points per game and was a first-time All-Star this year for the Hornets. Things holding the form.
Pick number 10 will be made by the Sacramento Kings.
Okay, so this pick, folks, goes to Sacramento since New Orleans' pick was not in the top three.
The 9th pick goes to the Dallas Mavericks.
Dirk Nowitzki will return for his 20th NBA season. Only Kobe Bryant has played 20 seasons with the same team.
The 8th pick will be made by the New York Knicks.
Okay, that means that Sacramento's pick has moved into the top three, but they may not pick there since Philadelphia has the right to swap picks with Sacramento. That's right.
The 7th pick belongs to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
This pick would join a nucleus of Andrew Wiggins, who's here tonight, Carl Anthony Towns, and Zach LaVine, all 22 or younger.
Pick number 6 goes to the Orlando Magic.
This is the 25th anniversary of the Magic winning the lottery and selecting Shaquille O'Neal, number 1, in 1992.
The 5th pick will be made by the Sacramento Kings.
Okay, this is actually Philadelphia's pick, but they invoked their right to swap with Sacramento. So that means Philly is in the top three.
And the 4th pick in the 2017 NBA draft goes to the Phoenix Suns.
Bad news for Devin Booker and the Suns as they drop out of the top three. And then there were just three remaining, Magic Johnson. Maybe he's got the magic touch tonight, folks. The final three. The Philadelphia 76ers, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Boston Celtics.
The 3rd pick in this year's draft goes to the Philadelphia 76ers. The 2nd pick will be made by the Los Angeles Lakers. And that means that the number 1 pick in the 2000 NBA draft goes to the Boston Celtics.
Wick Grosbeck and the Boston Celtics come back from New York with the number 1 pick. It's the first time in the modern draft era that the Celtics will get the number 1 pick.
Yes, the NBA draft lottery. Always intriguing, always fun to check out and see how things pan out, right? Also to see who is represented by each and every team there. You know, it can get very confusing at times because there are so many picks that take place where they have historical implications, I guess I could say. And for me, when watching the NBA draft last night, it was a bit confusing, I must say. Now, when you look at the back end of the NBA draft lottery, things panned out the way that we all expected them to, right? when you evaluate how the entire 14-pick field was chosen last night, this is how it looks. At number one, the Celtics. Two, Lakers. Three, 76ers. Four, Suns. Five, Kings. Six, Magic. Seven, Wolves. Eight, Knicks. Nine, the Mavericks. 10, Kings. 11, Hornets. 12, Pistons. 13, Nuggets. And 14, Heat. And, of course, you know, also something I want to note here. I mentioned how there were two Spartans that represented two teams in last night's NBA draft. One, of course, was Magic Johnson, who is now the man for the LA Lakers, the guy pulling the strings, making the decisions for the LA Lakers. But another Spartan that represented an NBA team was Nuggets guard Gary Harris, who, of course, left after his sophomore campaign here at Michigan State University to test his NBA talents at the next level. Mad props to Gary Harris because his growth this past year was pretty cool to watch. His growth into one of the league's rising two-way players was forged with a ton of sweat, a ton of long hours in an empty gym floor, actually last summer out in Indiana. Gary Harris, and this has been profiled, and it was really cool to watch this feature on the work ethic of Gary Harris. He actually went back to working with his longtime trainer, Chris Thomas, back in Indiana, and the results were there, folks. A career best season for Harris. He averaged about 15 points per game, shot 50.2% from the field this last season. Had a few highlight plays, a few highlight dunks. Pretty cool stuff, and pretty cool to see Gary Harris in the house for the NBA draft lottery. So a few takeaways for me when watching this year's draft lottery. First off, wow, the Boston Celtics. Watch out, NBA world, because this is already a squad that is competing in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals, right? The Celtics, winners of 53 games, the number one seed in the East this year, and now they have the number one overall pick in this year's NBA draft. And, you know, people are saying, how in the world did Boston, you know, the number one team in the East, get the number one pick in the NBA draft? Well, this is due in part to major thanks to 4 years ago, a 2013 trade of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to BK, I can say that now, right? Bronx is BX. Thank you, Karina. To the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for the Nets 2014, 16, and 2018 picks. So how about this, right? You have a former player in Paul Pierce who is a Boston Celtics legend who was pretty salty when the Celtics decided to trade him along with Kevin Garnett to the lowly Brooklyn Nets. Paul Pierce paying his dues in a very cool way and ideally handing the Boston Celtics the first overall pick in this year's draft. I thought it was pretty funny because Paul Pierce immediately, I mean 7 minutes after it aired, he tweeted out a pretty cool tweet last night, quote, "And look what I leave behind for the Celts on my way out. Number one overall pick," and then he has four emojis. He's got the laughing emoji. He's got the A-OK emoji. He's got the prayer hands emoji, and he also has the on fire emoji. How cool is that, right? The Nets finished the season, and I don't know how anybody in the world can watch the Brooklyn Nets. They are just awful. The Nets finished the year with the worst record in the league and had to just sit back on the sideline and watch as Boston won the lottery on Tuesday. Pierce, a part of that trade that helped the Celtics land the number one overall pick. Wow. So the question here that I have for the Boston Celtics, an already stout team in the NBA, again, they're going up against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. They had that number one next to their respective logo in this year's final standings, final regular season standings heading into the NBA playoffs. And now you get the number one overall pick. What do you do with that pick? Well, in just about 5 minutes, we will try to answer that question with DeShaun Tate of CBS Radio down in Atlanta. There are a number of names that have been thrown out as possible options for the Celtics with pick numero uno. Markelle Fultz is my favorite player out of this year's NBA draft. I remember watching the young man's highlight tape 2 months ago and my jaw absolutely on the floor. The kid reminds me so much of a player who actually is etched in Detroit Pistons lore, that being Isaiah Thomas of the red, white, and royal blue back in the 80s. Markelle plays so much like Isaiah, it is crazy. He's so quick off the dribble. His handles are sick. He is a bona fide scorer. He can score in numerous ways on any spot on the floor. So fun to watch, right? Freshman out of Washington. I think that Markelle should be the number one overall pick. However, when you evaluate things for the Boston Celtics, it's not like they really need a game changer. This is already a pretty good team. Isaiah Thomas, the new age Isaiah Thomas for the Celtics. He is so appealing to watch, fun to watch, a deep team. You saw what Kelly Olynyk did. I mean, Al Horford's still throwing in buckets. I mean, this team is so fun to watch, and they're in the Eastern Conference Finals for a reason. So now, you know, there have been, and I do believe there's a lot of pressure on Celtics GM Danny Ainge because he has to nail this, right? He really does. But there's been a lot of rumors out there, you know, as far as this pick is concerned, whether or not the Celtics should draft a player from this this young talent pool that seems to be very stout, or actually trade for superstars in need of change of scenery for years. Most recently, names like Jimmy Butler and Paul George, right, on the trade market. So this is where I fall with this, right? If you are the Boston Celtics, you're already playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. You already have a roster with a lot of talent. It's about win now, right? If you have the number one overall pick, that is the ultimate bait for some big names out there, isn't it? Why not go after a Jimmy Butler and a Paul George, players that you know are already proven at the professional level? Why not engage in a few negotiations to say, look, you know, if we trade with you, you get our pick and we get Butler or George or another big name out there on the free agency market, right? Because you know that you're guaranteed to get a player that can put it in the basket. I always say with the NBA draft, I mean, none of these young studs are guaranteed, right? None of them. I mean, heck, you just look at last year. I mean, Ben Simmons was the big name last year, Isaac. I mean, his impact was, you know, it's not like Ben Simmons. I think with time, he's going to become a superstar. He didn't come in the league a superstar,
well,
Isaac.
Well, he didn't play a game.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. But the thing about Ben is, even if he did, Isaac, I don't think that he would have been a superstar.
Agreed.
In today's NBA. He would have just been, I think, a star. You know what I mean? It's so hard to gauge these young players nowadays because we've seen so many of these young players come in the league and have to go through an adjustment period. So if I'm the Celtics, and you better believe Danny Ainge is going to mull this over, right? If I'm Danny Ainge and I got this number one pick and I'm already a solid team in the NBA's Eastern Conference, I may use that number one pick as bait for teams out there to try and get a household name that can come in and make an immediate impact for my franchise.
I'm seeing how big that bait is, though. Is it a minnow, or are you putting a full-on fish on the line to try to catch a shark here?
Full-on fish on the line, dude. It's win now. It's win now for Danny Ainge and his team,
so,
for sure.
The thing is, though, with Boston, it's an odd situation because there's a clear one and two for me in this NBA draft. Then there's everybody else. I like Josh Jackson. I do. But at the same time, I think Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball are clearly the two crystal balls of this draft who predict your future, and it's an upward trajectory. I think those are the two ways to go. Now, here's the thing. It's that Boston doesn't need a guard. They've got Isaiah Thomas. They've got Avery Bradley. They've got Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier coming off the bench. They do not need another guard. Mm-hmm. That's why maybe you try to dangle this as bait. I'm with you. I think if you can get Jimmy Butler, if you can get Paul George and just have to give up maybe the first pick and a little bit something else, maybe another guard who's a backup or something like that, that's a move that where you got to pull the trigger. Because the thing is, superstars win. It's sad in the NBA, but the Detroit Pistons of 2004, that's 13 years ago. That's not how it goes anymore. You need a super team. Mm-hmm. And Boston right now is set to assemble one. The thing is, too, about the Celtics, they've got space to sign a big-name free agent, notably Blake Griffin or Gordon Hayward are two names that have been discussed. If the Celtics can bring in two of those guys, and the thing is, those guys, they want to play with superstars too. It's a perpetuating cycle. If they can bring in a superstar, they can land a superstar in free agency, and suddenly they're the best team in the NBA. Now, the thing is, can Boston manage to sustain the success, to pull in all of this talent and yet maintain the small ego of everybody on the team? Because that's what works right now. That's why they got the number one seed. It's because they don't have anybody who's trying to hijack the plan away from Brad Stevens. It's no, just going to be about fit.
They've all bought in. That's clearly evident. And I don't think they have egos like that. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is a player that, I mean, yeah, he's had run-ins with, you know, the run-in with the fan, right? And he's a very edgy player, but that's naturally how usually young, undersized guards are. They have like that Napoleon complex, and that certainly bodes well for Isaiah Thomas and players like that of his stature. I mean, Allen Iverson was the same way, right, when he played.
So Chris Paul.
I don't think that they have big egos on the Boston Celtics team, and I think that Brad Stevens is one of the best coaches in the NBA. If they can add another piece that can come in and make an immediate, and that's the thing you weigh here. Do you go for something guaranteed, or do you go and take the NBA, you know, number one pick and draft a Lonzo Ball or a Josh Jackson or a Markelle Fultz and take that risk in thinking that, okay, these young studs are going to come in and really be great players? I go for the guaranteed. That's how I am right now. If I'm Danny Ainge, I would use that number one pick, ship it around, and see what possibilities you can get out there on the NBA trade market.
I go for the guaranteed too, but the one caveat that I throw into that is if nobody's biting, if they want too much, because the thing about Boston is they have depth. So if they ask you to give up somebody like Marcus Smart plus a Jay Crowder or something like that in exchange for these guys, that's why I'm calling it off. And the other thing you could do, yes, you could draft Markel. Yes, you could draft Josh. Yes, you could draft Lonzo, all number one. You can also trade down in the draft and manage to stockpile all of this and really build a dynasty. Because let's be real, that's what Boston's going for. That's what they did go for when they made that initial trade with the Nets.
Right.
And they can sustain success right now for years to come. If they drafted one of these superstars but also traded down, a guy like Josh Jackson plugs in perfectly.
But again,
initially into that franchise.
Again,
like
we just don't know, though. I mean, how many times have we seen top NBA draft picks in recent years, especially, become like average players?
I mean, these guys do seem more certain than a lot of other guys.
I feel like I say that every single year, though. I know the whole hype about Lonzo Ball and Fultz. And Fultz played at Washington, not to take anything
and
away from me.
And he went 9-27.
Exactly.
I agree.
And 27. And again, that's Washington for you, right? But at the same time, you know, you just don't know with these young kids anymore, you know? LeBron James, you just knew when looking at LeBron that this kid he had that kind of talent. I just don't know when I'm looking at this field. I think that eventually a lot of these players, I do think the talent pool is good this year, and I think better than last year's pool. However, there's a lot of question marks as well.
Well, and that's why I say you could possibly trade down too, because part of the reason the talent pool is so good is it's so deep. You've got a guy like Malik Monk who's probably could go 7th or 8th. If he gets drafted at that spot, I want him. Lauri Markkanen for Arizona. He might get drafted 5th or 6th. That's somebody who might work well for Boston. If he gets drafted there, I'd want him. Josh Jackson at 4th. That would be a great pick.
Yeah.
Look at juggling these picks. See what you can do. But at the same time, if worse comes to worse and you've got to trade Markelle Fultz, I don't really pity Boston too bad.
A few other takeaways for the rest of the East, not named the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Boston Celtics. You are all playing catch up now because, again, you give Boston the number one overall pick and they're already in the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, boy. Toronto, Washington, Atlanta. It's going to be interesting to see what they do come this offseason just to try and keep pace with the Celtics and the Cavs. The Lonzo Ball era in L.A., that's also an intriguing possibility, seeing as though Magic Johnson, who was looking funky fresh in his suit last night, I gotta hit up Magic to see who his tailor is. He always has the best suits, I tell you. But Magic, of course, with the L.A. Lakers getting the number 2 overall pick, there is a possibility that we could see Lonzo Ball playing in L.A. He went to UCLA, and I saw today that LeVar Ball, his pop, said that they probably will only work out for the L.A. Lakers. So that is intriguing to see if that happens. And then, you know, you look at some of the other teams in the NBA draft lottery from last night, you know, the Kings landing two top 10 picks, but it really could have been better. It was so funny because they actually brought up Sacramento head coach Jave Joyger on a graphic, and you know his face is kind of like pale, and you know you look at it, and they had a graphic right underneath him as he's kind of staring off into the abyss, and it says Dave Joyger, 0.0% chance for the number one pick. It was a great graphic, and it was like there's memes everywhere from that. I don't know if you saw that, Isaac.
But
It was pretty funny, but nonetheless, even though Sacramento did not land the number one overall pick, Sacramento landing two top 10 picks is pretty impressive if they can nurture that talent and, you know, pan out into some, maybe even just one star will be great for the Kings to have here. And also the New York Knicks receiving ideally no reward for yet another disappointing season. It's got to be tough to be a basketball fan in NYC, right, Isaac? I mean, gosh, you got the Nets there and they have been horrible. Then you got the Knicks. My goodness. And I saw they had, what was it? I think it was Clyde Frazier.
Yeah.
Representing the
Walt Frazier.
Walt
yeah.
Frazier. Yeah, exactly. Representing the Knicks last night wearing a suit. And still, you look at that whole fiasco. Will Carmelo stay? Kristaps Porzingis, you know. He
wants out.
He wants out. I mean, there's a lot of drama when it comes to the New York Knicks. So, another disappointing season, yet the Knicks can't be rewarded for it. So we'll see. We'll see. And the Knicks have the eighth draft pick in last year's draft lottery. I really thought the Knicks were probably going to maybe crack that top five.
Yeah, it would have been great for them. I don't know who I'd rather be a fan of, the Nets, because they have no future because of that abysmal trade from back in the day with the Boston Celtics that you brought up.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
The Knicks, where there's so much internal turmoil. You've got Phil Jackson fighting with virtually every single player on that team, and then the team itself just is not that good. They're locked into big contracts for Jakeem Noah and Derrick Rose. Are there two players who you'd less rather have in the NBA? Boy, it is misery right now in NYC. The other team that I thought lost out, though, was Phoenix as well. I thought pairing an elite point guard with Devin Booker would have been dynamo in the backcourt.
We'll talk about the Detroit Pistons and what we can expect the Pistons to do come this year's NBA draft. I mean, it went as expected for the Pistons. They will have the 12th overall pick. They had a 0.7% chance to possibly get the number one overall pick. So it wasn't any surprise that the Pistons came out 12th in that scenario last night. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. He will talk about the talent pool of this year's NBA draft coming out of college. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that you can keep it locked. Well, keep it locked, I should say, to Facebook.com/Current Sports. Later this evening, as we will have coverage, video coverage, coming from the 2-Minute Drill centered on the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame Softball Classic Day 3. Tonight, starting at 6 p.m. You can catch Weberville, the Cinderella of this year's Classic, actually, who knocked off Lakewood earlier this week. Lakewood was last year's Softball Classic champion. Weberville will take on Eaton Rapids at 6 p.m. at Rainey Field, Rainey Park, I should say, at in Lansing, I should say. And at 8 p.m., you can catch Charlotte versus Grand Ledge. Grand Ledge, an undefeated 24-0. First pitch set for that approximately will take place at 8 p.m. Also, I want to push this through and let it be known again, if you're just now tuning in, the Diamond Classic field is now set. We know which teams will compete in probably one of my favorite tournaments in high school sports here in the area, featuring the best high school baseball teams in the mid-Michigan area. Those teams are Holt, DeWitt, Grand Ledge, Portland St. Pat's, Fowlerville, Fowler, Lakewood, Okemos, Portland, and St. John's. That is what your Diamond Classic field looks like. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is certainly a dear friend, and he knows all things college basketball. His name is DeShawn Tate, College Hoops reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio down in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. DeShawn, what's up, my man?
Al Martin, man, good afternoon. I was hoping I wasn't going to be rubbing it in this time of the year where the weather is nice here in Atlanta. I would imagine. I've been hearing a lot of things about 80 degrees in Lansing. I'm not sure if somebody was setting me up or trying to tell me some kind of joke or something, but I heard the weather has been nice. So I think I've been rubbing off on you guys a little bit.
You have, for sure, DeShawn. And you know what? I'm just hoping it lasts, dude. It is about 80-something degrees outside. The sun is out. It's been gorgeous as of late, but you know it's Michigan. I wouldn't be surprised if the forecast revealed 2 feet of snow tomorrow. So
you're not gonna hold your breath.
I'm not holding my breath, man. It's Michigan. Okay. I've lived in this area for too long, brother. So, but nonetheless, man, good hearing your voice, man. Let's dive right into this. You know, last night I know you were tuned in to check out the NBA draft lottery. And, you know, when it comes to this year's talent pool coming out of college and entering the pro realm, there are a lot of storylines and a lot of big names that the NBA fan base is certainly excited to check out come next season. For you, I just want to know your immediate reaction to the NBA draft lottery last night. And who will you think will be the number one overall pick? Who do you think it should be?
Well, I was a little not quite surprised, but I did think that the Lakers were going to get the number one pick. In fact, they didn't, so they lose to the Celtics again. And what Magic Johnson still says, I still hate the Celtics, so that's definitely understandable. But outside of that, I think everything kind of rounded out exactly how it was expected to in regards to, I guess, like mock drafts and things of that nature of where, you know, what teams would be selecting and which picks and which spots. But I think the number one here is you gotta go with Lonzo Ball. I haven't had the feeling that Markelle Fultz, and everybody's talking about Markelle Fultz being number one. I don't know if that's because he and Isaiah Thomas are both went to the University of Washington or what that really is all about and from Seattle. But I will say enough to say I think that you go with Lonzo Ball there. You have him running the point, and then by not having Isaiah Thomas, almost feel like he's being run into the ground, being expected to score, play defense on the other end, and distribute. You put Lonzo Ball at the one, and then you have Isaiah Thomas as more of that combo to kind of free him up for the future. And, of course, turning that around on the defensive end, you have Lonzo Ball guard the shooting guard position because of his height and things like that, and where he won't be nearly as much of a liability. You have Isaiah Thomas guarding the point guard in that situation. I think that's the best situation for the Boston Celtics. But if not, you almost have, you know, it sounds good having Jaylen Brown as a backup along with a Josh Jackson, who guys up there in Michigan are familiar with, as a backup as well. And then, of course, starting, you have Avery Bradley, who's a pretty good defender, and, of course, Jay Crowder, while you have Isaiah Thomas running the point. I mean, that's a pretty good situation, too. But I think if you're taking Markelle Fultz, you're definitely doing yourself a disservice.
So you ideally are coming from the perspective that you think the game of maybe Thomas and Fultz may clash on the court together. Lonzo was a better fit out in Boston.
Well, not necessarily, but I will say that not necessarily that they'll clash. But you have two guys that can score the ball,
right?
And Isaiah Thomas is maybe not as necessarily a combo. You can make him into a combo if he's a pure point. I guess fine, but you don't want to have that many responsibilities on a guy like that. Now, in the same token, you bring Markelle Fultz over and you're keeping Isaiah Thomas happy, who's your franchise player and going to be an unrestricted free agent the following season of the 2018 season. So I wouldn't go as far as saying that they clash, but you're picking up an extra scorer who you don't necessarily need to be a scorer. I still think that Markelle Fultz, we still don't know all of what he can do. You know, he can score, but we haven't seen him against the competition. If he goes number one, that'll be the second year back-to-back with he and Ben Simmons in NBA draft history that didn't make the NCAA tournament between Washington and LSU.
Yeah, it's all about talent, right? Screw what the record is, I guess. And you know what, Deshaun, I want to ask you this because everybody is saying that Fultz, Jackson, and Ball will be the top three in whatever order you want to throw out there in this year's NBA draft. Between those three, who has the more NBA-ready game and why?
I think it is a combination of Ball and Jackson. Between the two, I think it's equal. I don't think it's one and then two. I think it's probably 1A and 1B, and that's Lonzo Ball and Jackson, of course, depending on the situation, would determine whether they're ready or not. But I like to think that all the comparisons, and I think this is really spot on, I'm not usually in agreement when people make comparisons to former players or even current players that are in the NBA to guys that are coming out of college to go to the NBA. But when I heard the comparison of Lonzo Ball to Jason Kidd, I really thought that that was spot on. You heard that through a lot of different sources and things of that nature, but typically I don't necessarily agree, but in that one I do. Now, however, I will say that with Josh Jackson, what he's able to bring to the table immediately, he's kind of like a Kawhi Leonard-style type of player. Now, when you hear Kawhi Leonard, everybody's thinking MVP. You're hearing just the Kawhi Leonard that you know right now. But he's very much like the Kawhi Leonard that we saw at San Diego State. If anybody remembers that, being able to play defense on both sides of the ball, play defense and play offense, athletic guy. I mean, if you're able to keep that mental together, which I'm not sure how that's going to work in the locker room with D'Angelo Russell and him taking all these pictures and recording different things and stuff like that, but you put him in the right situation where he can mature a little bit, I think that it's a go for him. So that's my biggest issue with him as far as NBA ready, not necessarily his talent or his skill, but his maturity level. I think all of the above, all across the board, I think you go Lonzo Ball 1A and then Josh Jackson 1B.
I want to get to the Detroit Pistons and the rest of the talent pool in this year's draft in just a moment, Deshaun, but I have to ask you this. The whole LeVar Ball, Lonzo's dad situation, and the whole 495 kicks that are being released in November. I was on the way driving into work, and I was listening to Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports, and he had LeVar Ball on his radio show. It amazes me just how many national sports talk shows actually are having this man on and just throwing logs onto the Ball fire. It's amazing to me. But what do you make of LeVar's influence in the draft stock of Lonzo and just the Lonzo Ball brand? Is LeVar doing too much, and is he hurting his son at all, in your opinion?
I think he's definitely doing a good job at selling it. I mean, who am I to say, you know, this is a guy who is supporting his son, in which we don't give nearly enough credit about that. Now, are some of the comparisons outlandish? Absolutely. You start talking about put Stephen Curry on UCLA and Lonzo Ball on Golden State, and we'll see what happens. It looks like Steph Curry, that situation is working out pretty well for them over in the Bay Area.
You think? Yeah.
I'm not sure how much is hurting him. In the end, it may hurt him. People say, well, what's going to happen when these, you know, top talented defenders and NBA guys, you know, kind of going to have a little bit more extra incentive or initiative to go ahead and want to play defense on him a little tougher or go out there just because of the sake of not necessarily something he said or did, but because of his father. But I say if you're Lonzo Ball, you embrace that, because if you want to be the best, you have to take the best at that next level, and you're going to be doing that for 82 games, bearing the fact that you don't make the playoffs. So I think that you embrace that. Is he hurting him a little bit? I think you should definitely let the kid go ahead and be a kid. If there's no better time to let him grow up, it's going to be now, because regardless of whether you're holding his hands across the street or not, he's going to have to be the one that's on that court and having to deal with those NBA players. I don't know how much is going to help or hurt. We will find that out, but he's going to go through ups and downs just like every other rookie. And I'll never forget when his dad said, that Lonzo Ball would be the number one pick in the NBA draft. You just wait and see. Now, however, he did say that UCLA was going to win the national championship led by Lonzo Ball, and that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So all the things still are yet to be seen, but I think what we're going to see out of Lonzo Ball is going to be something that he's just going to continue to play his game the way that he knows to play. And if not nothing else, his dad might be trying to get a couple extra dollars. But I'll tell you what, Al, I'm not going out buying no $228 pair of flip-flops, nor $495 tennis shoes or $995 autograph tennis shoes. I still owe you a steak. I can't afford to be walking around with Lonzo Ball shoes on, and I still owe my boy Al Martin a steak.
Right, that's true. And I haven't forgotten about that, Deshaun. But, yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not – if you are, you got to be like – you have to have, like, celebrity moolah for that, right? So as we move along here, Deshaun, I got to bring up the Detroit Pistons. They had a 2.5% chance to nail one of the top three spots in this year's NBA draft lottery, and a 0.7% chance to possibly land the number one overall spot. We all know now that the Pistons will have the 12th overall pick in the first round of this year's NBA draft. There's been a lot of names thrown out there, and when you talk about the needs for the red, white, and royal blue, Deshaun, the point guard position, now they did have Ish Smith, but, you know, and Ish, I don't know if Ish is a starter in this year's NBA. I like Ish coming off the bench, to be honest with you. Reggie Jackson, we don't know where he will be. He may be on the trade market for the Pistons. We don't know if he will even be a Detroit Piston next year. So the guard position is certainly a need, maybe a compliment forward for a guy like Andre Drummond, if he is even going to be a part of the squad in the forthcoming year. I've seen names thrown out there like Gonzaga big man Zach Collins, North Carolina small forward Justin Jackson, Duke shooting guard Luke Kennard. I'm trying to figure out, especially out of those names, what do you think the Pistons will do with that pick? And as far as a guard or a forward need, what names out there do you think could come in and make an immediate impact?
Well, I'll say this. Of the guys that you name, I mean, Zach Collins looks good. He definitely exposes a little bit of the fundamentals and the basics of the game, and he's really good. But, you know, don't get it twisted. I don't want to chip because he is a very talented player. However, I'm really not sure what all he has. He still has that Gonzaga thing hanging over his head where he didn't play the best competition. Mm-hmm. But granted, yes, they did play in the NCAA tournament where we saw them against better competition, but they weren't even necessarily in the most competitive side of the bracket where we could see some guys be matched up against him. And he's still a young guy. I mean, he's a freshman. Now you're talking about some elder players, some guys like a Justin Jackson, who I love his game, his skill set, able to shoot the ball with good length and things like that. But he doesn't have the kind of motor. If he had the kind of motor that Bryce Johnson, who left the year before, had, then I think with the same skill set, I think that we might be having possibly a different conversation. But all things being considered, they need a point guard. At that point in the draft, there's really not a whole lot to pick from. Mm-hmm. I think that Frank Mason is ideal, but that's way too early for him. The Flint native of Monte Morris, I think that's good, but that still is a bit too early for him as well. So as far as a point guard, you're really not going to have much of the litter to pick from. I think in this situation, number one, whatever you do, don't go Harry Giles. Don't go that route, because I can see the Pistons doing something like a Zach Collins or possibly a TJ Leaf or even the gentleman I just named. Bam Adebayo, I'm not sure how you feel about having a Dwight Howard, you know, type of guy who may not be able to make free throws, kind of undersized a little bit.
Oh, no, we already got that in Andre Drummond, right, when it comes to the free throws.
You know, exactly. You have that already. And the way that Stan Van Gundy likes to be able to build that team, he's trying to build it like he did with Dwight Howard, with Andre Drummond, but when he was over in Orlando, now with Detroit, with putting shooters around him. So I'm not really sure. I think if you're going to go with someone here, and this is my personal opinion, you go with a wing, a guy that can score. He may be a little bit of a project. We don't know what he can do, but I think in this case is where you have to go with Terrence Ferguson.
All right, Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Deshaun, we want to get you back on as the NBA draft approaches, and we'll have some fun. We'll have an NBA mock draft, and we'll let you get in on that. How's that sound?
Please and thank you.
You got it, my man. We'll talk to you then, and thank you so much for joining us, my brother.
Sounds Sounds good. Thank you, Al.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by briefly talking about the wife of a certain big name in the NFL revealing something interesting about that big name. Don't go anywhere. We'll put a wrap on this edition of Current Sports. We'll be right back.
First things first, rest in peace, Uncle Phil. For real, you the only father that I ever knew. I get my bracket, I'm a beer.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Deshaun Tate, college basketball expert for CBS Radio down in Atlanta, Georgia. If you missed that chat, shame, shame on you, as my grandma used to say. But hey, you can catch each and every episode of Current Sports in podcast form about an hour after we get off the air, around 3 p.m. usually, via WKAR.org. And you can also go to Facebook.com/Current Sports to check out the live stream, as that also will post after we bid you all adieu each and every weekday at 2 p.m. I want to bring up this story that our Current Sports summer intern, Karina Garcia, finished out our headliners with. It has been revealed from Tom Brady's wife, Gisele Bundchen, that Tom actually had a concussion last season while he was busy taking his team to the promised land, winning yet another Super Bowl, and in my opinion, etching himself as the greatest quarterback to ever play the game of football. With only 90 seconds left in the show, it will be impossible to get everything out off my chest about this story, Isaac, but I just want to ask you, my friend, really quickly, was Gisele, because I firmly believe that every man here on earth needs a strong, strong woman behind him, right?
Amen.
And Gisele is certainly that. She's gorgeous, and I love the marriage between Brady and Gisele, right? But was Gisele in the wrong to put out this news to the
Gisele,
press?
This isn't the first time she's kind of gone into the football realm. I'm not saying she can't do that, but she has to watch what she says when she might not have the full information. This is the second time she's done that, at least to my recollection, but it might be more than that. Also, it's not that I don't trust her, but I'm not sure what her MD is in, but now, I don't think in doctor.
Now, I will say this, though. She is the wife of Tom Brady. So there may have been a Sunday where Tom came home that night and said, baby, I'm not feeling well. I'm seeing two of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I will give her some credit there because she is the wife of Tom. They have conversations that we don't see in the press when it comes to Tom Brady, right? So we'll elaborate more on that tomorrow. I have an interesting take on that story. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow, folks. As always, have a great afternoon and be easy, people. Thank you.